Well, happy Father's Day. Thank you for joining us for Northwest Worship. I love being a father. And one of the reasons I love being a father is kids make me laugh. Kids say the funniest things. And here's some samples that kids wrote in a letters to pastors. Letters to pastors. Arnold writes, "I know God loves everybody, but he never met my sister." Lorreen writes, "Dear pastor, I think a lot more people would come to your church if you moved it to Disneyland." That probably would work. Alexander writes, "Dear pastor, please say a prayer for our little league team. We need God's help or a new pitcher." And then lastly, Ralph says, "Dear pastor, I liked your sermon on Sunday, especially when it was finished." Like, everybody loves it when I finish. You know, today our country is filled with chaos and conflict. And why is that? Our country is a free country. We have a wonderful constitution that gives people rights and freedoms, but there's so much pain and conflict and unhappiness. And so why is our country filled with so much chaos and conflict? Well, the answer, the simple answer, is the problem is sin. Sin causes this. But the question is, where is that sin infesting itself that brings out so much pain and problems? Well, I think if we want to be honest, today too many fathers have abandoned. If we were to be honest, I think we would have to admit that a lot of the problems in the world today are the result of the failure of fathers to be fathers. The failure of fathers to be the father that God intended them to be. Today, too many fathers have abandoned and ignored their children. They gave up the responsibility and they passed on the role of being a father to the mother or to the government. And the government handles it by having social services and prisons and court systems. And so today, we are suffering, we are paying the price of that failure. And it's such a waste. The answer is easy. Fathers need to be fathers. Fathers have power, the power to shape and transform their children in amazing and wonderful ways. Fathers, are you using your power for God's glory? The father's power lies in the great desire of a child to please their father, to please dad. Every child wants to please dad. They want their dad to be proud of them. They want their dad to take pride in them. They want the dad to watch them and laugh with them and spend time with them. But that same power can be used to crush the spirit of a child if it's not used responsibly, if it's not exercised in the way God planned. Fathers, you have great power. And to quote Spider-Man's Uncle Ben, with great power comes great responsibility. You have power, you have responsibility to use it. So let's look at our verse today, which is Corinthians 3:17. That's about how to lead a family, fathers, men, how to be a good husband and good father. Verse 17, "Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Wives, submit to your husband as is fitting to the Lord, in the Lord. Husband, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord." And verse 21, a verse we're going to focus on today, "Fathers, do not embitter your children or they will become discouraged." And I think this is the problem today. How do you become a good father? It says in word or in deed, and all that you do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so fathers, you have the power to embitter your children or to empower them. And so let's talk about how fathers embitter their children. I think if there was a dad sin, if there's a sin only dads can commit, it is embittering your children, make them bitter. The word embitter means to stir up, provoke, irritate, or to exasperate. I think of it as making your kids, you make them bitter towards you because you stir them up, you provoke them, you irritate them, you exasperate them, you disappoint them. Another way to say this phrase that Paul's commanding is stop nagging your children. We don't nag, we teach and we show them how to live. The word discourage means to lose heart, to be without courage or spirit. When you provoke your children, when you're harsh to them, you break their spirit if it continues and continues. When that happens, when your child loses heart, when your child stops seeking your approval, they no longer try to please you anymore. When that child stops trying to please you, they only seek to please themselves. They will resent you. They'll be bitter towards you. They'll stop trying to please you, and they might become depressed. Now, I know all of you men, you're good fathers. Most of you are good fathers, as far as I can tell. I know you don't want to commit the dad sin, but we do so without knowing in four different ways. The first way we cause pain and embitter our children is with your expectations. You have too many expectations, too many unreasonable expectations. I have seen fathers expect their children to be the next Michael Jordan or the next Tiger Woods. And so they push their kids to be a great athlete. They send them to athlete school and baseball camps. There's nothing wrong with it if your child wants to. But if you're trying to live through your child, you're creating unnecessary and harsh expectations. If you expect them to excel in sports, maybe you expect your child to be everything you were not in high school. You expect your child to be popular because you were not, or the best student because you were not. You want them to accomplish everything that you did not. You try to live through your child, and that brings about expectations. And then what do you do if they don't meet your expectations? Are you disappointed in them? Do you tell them that, man, your grades are so bad, why can't you be like the neighbor kid who's a valedictorian? When you are unreasonable in expectations, you crush the spirit of your child. I remember growing up, every time my parents asked my brother, why can't you be like Terry? Why can't you be like Terry? I would feel so bad for him. I'd have to console him and remind him, Eddie, you're special, and that's all that matters. What do we expect for a child? We expect our child to become the person God intended them for them to be. So what's the second way we embitter our children? We embitter our children with neglect. We are never there to hear about their day. We are never there to watch their most important moments. We are never there to discipline them and correct them when their behavior and thinking is wrong. We neglect them. Fathers, are you breaking your promise to your child? Fathers, are you failing to keep your appointments? You miss their games, you miss their recitals. No matter how painful those recitals are, you're supposed to be there. Even if they are 3 hours of modern dance at ASU that go on forever, you're supposed to be there. If it's important to your child, it should be important to you. And then when you neglect your child, do you try to buy their affection or their forgiveness by buying them toys? You can't make up for your failures by buying them things, the latest video game, the smartphone, or a car. If you do this, you try to buy your child's affection and forgiveness, your child will learn to love material things more than you. The third way we embitter our children is with your insensitivity. We don't listen to their pain or even try to take the time to understand their problems. We just try to tell them how to fix it. You know, they're crying, you tell them to get over it. So what if your boyfriend dumped you? Go get a better boyfriend. That's insensitive. I remember when we played on the church softball team, and if one of us got hit in the leg with a ball and we got a Charlie horse that caused us pain and we're rolling around on the floor, on the ground in pain, our coach, Tracy Tang, would just walk up to us and say, just walk it off. Get up, you man. Are you a man or a mouse? Guess what? When your kid is upset about something that happened at school or something they saw on Facebook, you can't just tell them, walk it off. You know, shake it off. Get back on your feet. You know, I remember raising three daughters was an adventure in our family. I remember one time one of our daughters, you know, they'd come out of their room, they're crying, they're upset. They say, I need a hug. So we'd give them a hug. We'd listen to them. And I know usually it's because of a boy. That happened. That's just part of life. And so we would listen to them and what's bothering them. And after a while, after they calmed down, I would simply ask them, do you want me to go beat up that boy for you? I'll go over there right now and beat him up. And then they would say no, and they would smile, because we need to be sensitive. The fourth thing we see with your inflexibility, you are never wrong. You're never able to forgive. You're never able to admit that you were wrong. It's my way or the highway. Is that how you work with your kids? Is that how you relate to your kids? It's my way or the highway. Fathers, God has given us grace and mercy. And so he's given us grace and mercy so we can show grace and mercy to our kids. Like when my kids make mistakes, they need to be able to learn from it. Every mistake is a teaching moment, and not just a moment to yell at them and criticize them. How else can they learn if you're not there to show them how? But if you're inflexible, if you just scream and yell at them and punish them all the time, they can never learn. Fathers need to be able to admit their mistakes. Fathers need to be able to ask for forgiveness of their child. When you do this, you don't forfeit your authority. You gain authority because your kids will respect you more. You don't lose respect. You get more respect because they will admire your honesty. As a father, you need to understand your child enough to know when it's time to push them, you know, to push them to excel. And you need to know when it's time to pull them closer to you, to show them your love and affection. You need to know when it's time to give your child more courage. You also need to know when it's time to give them more compassion. If you commit this dad sin, it's partly because you're committing one of these four errors. You do so and you embitter your child. So let's go on to, excuse me, my summer cough is here. How to empower your children. I think one of the greatest investments you can make, what is the greatest investment you can make? Real estate, gold, stocks. The greatest investment you can make is by investing time in your child. You must spend time with them. You have to invest time in them. You can't buy their affection and obedience with toys. And even if you don't have children, I know some of you have no children, and that's okay if that's your choice and God's will. But you can empower your nephew or your niece. You can empower your neighbor kid or one of the kids at church. Become a spiritual father to them. When I think of empowering a child, I think of this passage from Deuteronomy. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. What does empower means? I think of the word empowering means you give your kids power. Power, you enable them. You equip them to learn and grow and thrive, to become everything that God wants them to be, to reach their full potential. I think one of the biggest responsibilities of a father is to build up their inner strength and their self-esteem and their confidence. See, too many men think that working long hours is how they show their love for their family, how they invest in their family, but nothing could be further from the truth. And so how do we invest in our families? How do we empower our children? The first way is we talk to your child. Talk to your child. Deuteronomy 6:7, talk about them, talk about God, talk about life when you sit at home and you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. That means you talk to your kids all the time. I think one of the most precious moments for our family is when we sit around at the dinner table and we share a meal and we talk about anything. Talk to them when you're driving. Talk to them when you're walking. Talk to them while you're getting ice cream and sharing an ice cream cone. Talk to them about things that you're interested in and things that they're interested in. Talking to them means more than just talking. It means listening to them. Listen, laugh with them, ask them questions. Let them ask you questions. I think the best conversations are when you're sharing an activity. You know, you're putting a puzzle together, you're playing a game, maybe you're going fishing or going for a walk. Learn, you know, when you talk to your child, you learn the heart of your child. You learn what makes them happy, what makes them sad, and what makes them tick. Fathers need to talk to their children. The second thing we can do to empower children is to teach your child. Verse 6, these commandments that I give you today are to be upon your heart. Impress them on your child. Impress them. Teach them. Guess what? If you don't teach your kids, someone or something else will teach them. And guess what? There are bad people waiting to teach your kid bad things. If your kids don't hang around with you, they'll hang around with bad company. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Fathers, you need to be around your kids. So someone is waiting to teach your kids bad things. There's also something else waiting to teach your kids, and that's social media. It's designed to catch your kids' attention and manipulate their character and their thinking and to instill a desire in them to buy stuff or to listen to stuff. So what do you teach your kid? You teach them what you know. You share your wisdom. You share your passion. I shared this picture before, but I love this picture. Our dad, I'm grateful to my dad for teaching me how to fish, to share fishing trips. And we'd spend days out there fishing. We didn't talk a lot, to be honest, but we shared life. We learned. He taught me how to fish. That is something that can never be taken away. By the way, that boat is partly a wooden boat. I can't remember if it's all wood, but I know the top is wood. And as you can see, the boat is full, and we put four people in there with three ice chests and five fishing rods. We would pack it in that boat, and we had a great time. But my father also taught me how to run a store, how to run a business, how to deal with people. And I use that today as a pastor. I used it in my CPA business. Teach them God's word. Guess what, fathers? If you believe in God's word, your children will believe in God's word. Please remember that teaching is more than just telling. Teaching is inspiring ideas. Teaching is illuminating your child's mind. I like putting ideas in people's minds so that they can see the potential, the light comes on in their heads. I remember many years ago, my mom told me that one of my nephews didn't want to go to college, and she wanted him to go to college. My mom's solution to everything is to tell me or tell my brother to tell them to do something, to tell the kid to do something. And so the next time I saw this nephew, I had a talk. What are you going to do? And they go, well, I said, are you going to go to college? I go, no, I don't think I need to go to college. I say, I told him, hey, there's nothing wrong with not going to college and going and working. But guess what? You'll be working mostly with your hands. And there's nothing wrong with working with your hands. But a good college degree will make you twice as much money for a lot less work. And so he thought about it, and then he went to college. I didn't tell him what to do. I was just giving him ideas. Fathers, are you teaching your children? Are you inspiring them and enlightening them? The third thing we can do to empower our children is this: train your child. Ephesians 6:4. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. I think a different translation says, do not provoke your children. Training is hands-on application. Training means that you run alongside your child as they're riding a bike while you're holding the back of the bike so they don't fall over. You know, I can't do that anymore. I can barely run anymore. Raising children is for the young. Training is showing them how it's done and then letting them do it. You have to believe in your child. Your child needs to know that you have confidence in them. I taught all my daughters how to drive. And so I would get in the car, the parked car, show them the steering wheel, the different shifting gears, brake, gas, how to start the car, how to turn the car off. But then I had to let them drive. Training is hands-on training. And I let them drive. And there's nothing more terrifying than letting your child drive for the first time. I think next time, if I have to teach a child, I want one of those driver ed's cars where the passenger has a steering wheel and a brake of his own, because the imaginary steering wheel and brakes don't work very well. Training, teaching, it takes time. And the key, once again, is investing meaningful time in your child. Lastly, the next thing we need to do is you need to trust your child. The children need to know that you believe in them. Proverbs 22:6, train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. When they are trained, when they know the father, mother trust them, they know what they're supposed to do, most cases, they will not turn from it. But guess what? If you don't teach your child and train them and talk to them, they'll go any way they want to go. I remember back in seminary, one of my college professors, he homeschooled his children all the way through high school, which is a daunting task. And after homeschooling them through high school, he sent them to a Christian college. And he was rightly so afraid of the world, being influenced by the world. And so there's nothing wrong if you want to go that route. It's a fine way. It's a great way. The only reason I don't do it is because I'm too lazy. But then he went further and he bragged that his daughters, there were no other kids or daughters that could compare to their godliness and integrity because of the way he raised them and sent them to school. Of course, this raised my hackles, and I didn't say it out loud, but I wanted to say to him, well, obviously you have never met my daughters, because not only would they match your daughter's godliness and integrity, they went to public school for 16 years. They went to public school and they passed the test, and they did not turn from my teaching or my wife's teaching. How do you empower your kids? How do you make them the child that God wants them to be? You talk to your child, you teach them, you train them, and then you trust them. You trust them to do the right thing when you're not there. In most cases, they will not turn from it. Now, is this a guarantee? No. A lot of these passages come out of Proverbs. Proverbs aren't promises. They're principles for living. But fathers, mothers, can't we give our children the best chance by empowering them? See, when your kids know that you believe in them, they will believe in themselves. If all they hear is criticism from you about them, they will criticize themselves. If all they hear that you are disappointed in them, they will be disappointed in themselves. But if you're proud of them and they know it, they will take pride in themselves. If you're confident in them, they will have confidence for themselves. When your kids know that you trust them, I believe in most cases, if not all, they will honor your trust. A father was watching his little son playing in a sandbox with his cars and trucks. And while he's digging in the sand, building hills and tunnels, he discovered a large rock in the middle of the sandbox. And he didn't want that rock in there, but he couldn't quite lift it up. He could roll it, and then he could barely roll it after a while, so he would use his feet and push that rock closer to the edge of the sandbox. And then when he got it close, he tried to roll the rock up and out of the sandbox, but it rolled back and it crushed his little fingers. He starts crying in frustration. He can't do it. Just about then, a large shadow fell across the boy and the sandbox. And it was the boy's father. And the father gently said to his son, "Son, why didn't you use all the strength that you have?" And the little boy cried back, "But I did, Daddy, I did. I did it with all my strength, but I couldn't do it. And it rolled back and it hurt my fingers." And the father said, "No, son, you didn't use all the strength you had. You didn't ask me. And with that, the father reached down, picked up the rock, and removed it from the sandbox. Parents, fathers, your children need your strength. They need the strength that comes from your, not only your physical muscles, your love, your confidence, your pride, all the things that you can invest in your child to make them strong. So today, fathers and mothers, are you empowering your child or are you embittering them? If you have committed the dad sin, I encourage you to confess it to God. Tell God that, yeah, I committed this sin. I've neglected or been inflexible. And then after you confess it to God, you repent, which means you commit to empowering your child in the name of Jesus. Brothers and sisters, we need to invest in our children at church, at home, in our neighborhoods, and all our family so that they can become people of God. Remember this, our strength and power come from knowing Jesus Christ as our Savior and our Lord. And so we need the confidence and courage that comes from salvation in Jesus Christ. When we experience the love of Christ in our hearts, it's easier to be a father and a mother. So I encourage you today, if you're listening online, watching this recording, trust in Jesus today. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for our fathers and giving them to us. We know, Lord, these men, they love us and they want to do the best, but sometimes we make mistakes and sometimes we commit the dad sin. Father, we know that you forgive us for our sins and help us to be better. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. I think a different translation says, do not provoke your children. Training is hands-on application. That means, training means that you run alongside your child as they're riding a bike while you're holding the back of the bike so they don't fall over. You know, I can't do that anymore. I can barely run anymore. Raising children is for the young. Training is showing them how it's done and then letting them do it. You have to believe in your child. Your child needs to know that you have confidence in them. I taught all my daughters how to drive. And so I would get in the car, the parked car, show them the steering wheel, the different shifting gears, brake, gas, how to start the car, how to turn the car off. But then I had to let them drive. Training is hands-on training. And I let them drive. And there's nothing more terrifying than letting your child drive for the first time. I think next time, if I have to teach a child, I want one of those driver ed's cars where the passenger has a steering wheel and a brake of his own, because the imaginary steering wheel and brakes don't work very well. Training, teaching, it takes time. And the key, once again, is investing meaningful time in your child. Lastly, the next thing we need to do is you need to trust your child. The children need to know that you believe in them. Proverbs 22:6, train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. When they are trained, when they know the father, mother trust them, they know what they're supposed to do, most cases, they will not turn from it. But guess what? If you don't teach your child and train them and talk to them, they'll go anyway they want to go. I remember back in seminary, one of my college professors, he homeschooled his children all the way through high school, which is a daunting task. And he then, after homeschooling him through high school, he sent them to a Christian college. And he was rightly so afraid of the world, being influenced by the world. And so there's nothing wrong if you want to go that route. It's a fine way. It's a great way. The only reason I don't do it is because I'm too lazy. But then he went further and he bragged that his daughters, there were no other kids or daughters that could compare to their godliness and integrity because of the way he raised them and sent them to school. Of course, this raised my hackles, and I didn't say it out loud, but I wanted to say to him, well, obviously you have never met my daughters, because not only would they match your daughter's godliness and integrity, they went to public school for 16 years. They went to public school and they passed the test, and they did not turn from my teaching or my wife's teaching. How do you empower your kids? How do you make them the child that God wants them to be? You talk to your child. You teach them. You train them. And then you trust them. You trust them to do the right thing when you're not there. In most cases, they will not turn from it. Now, is this a guarantee? No. A lot of these passages come out of Proverbs. Proverbs aren't promises. They're principles for living. But fathers, mothers, can't we give our children the best chance by empowering them? See, when your kids know that you believe in them, they will believe in themselves. If all they hear is criticism from you about them, they will criticize themselves. If all they hear that you are disappointed in them, they will be disappointed in themselves. But if you're proud of them and they know it, they will take pride in themselves. If you're confident in them, they will have confidence for themselves. When your kids know that you trust them, I believe in most cases, if not all, they will honor your trust. A father was watching his little son playing in a sandbox with his cars and trucks. And while he's digging in the sand, building hills and tunnels, he discovered a large rock in the middle of the sandbox. And he didn't want that rock in there, but he couldn't quite lift it up. He could roll it, and then he could barely roll it after a while. So he would use his feet and push that rock closer to the edge of the sandbox. And then when he got it close, he tried to roll the rock up and out of the sandbox, but it rolled back and it crushed his little fingers. He starts crying in frustration. He can't do it. Just about then, a large shadow fell across the boy and the sandbox. And it was the boy's father. And the father gently said to his son, "Son, why didn't you use all the strength that you have?" And the little boy cried back, "But I did, Daddy, I did. I did it with all my strength, but I couldn't do it, and it rolled back, and it hurt my fingers." And the father said, "No, son, you didn't use all the strength you had. You didn't ask me." And with that, the father reached down, picked up the rock, and removed it from the sandbox. Parents, fathers, your children need your strength. They need the strength that comes from not only your physical muscles, your love, your confidence, your pride, all the things that you can invest in your child to make them strong. So today, fathers and mothers, are you empowering your child or are you embittering them? If you had committed the dad sin, I encourage you to confess it to God. Tell God that, yeah, I committed this sin. I've neglected or been inflexible. And then after you confess it to God, you repent, which means you commit to empowering your child in the name of Jesus. Brothers and sisters, we need to invest in our children at church, at home, in our neighborhoods, and all our family so that they can become people of God. Remember this, our strength and power come from knowing Jesus Christ as our Savior and our Lord. And so we need the confidence and courage that comes from salvation in Jesus Christ. When we experience the love of Christ in our hearts, it's easier to be a father and a mother. So I encourage you today, if you're listening online, watching this recording, trust in Jesus today. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for our fathers and giving them to us. We know, Lord, these men, they love us and they want to do the best, but sometimes we make mistakes and sometimes we commit the dad sin. Father, we know that you forgive us for our sins and help us to be better fathers. Help us, Lord, to invest time in our children, talking to them, teaching them, training them, and trusting them. Father, I pray that everyone here will trust in you and know you as our Savior and Lord. And I pray for all the children who have fathers, even older ones like me, that we love and honor our father and our mother, and most of you, our Father in heaven. So thank you, Father, for today. Continue to bless us and guide us, church, as we go through this difficult time. We're still going to worship you and walk with you and be your witness. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Northwest. Have a great week. May God bless you. fathers. Help us, Lord, to invest time in our children, talking to them, teaching them, training them, and trusting them. Father, I pray that everyone here will trust in you and know you as our Savior and Lord. And I pray for all the children who have fathers, even older ones like me, that we love and honor our Father and our Mother, and most of you, our Father in heaven. So thank you, Father, for today. Continue to bless us and guide us, church, as we go through this difficult time. We're still going to worship you and walk with you and be your witness. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Northwest. Have a great week. May God bless you. There are principles for living, but fathers, mothers, can't we give our children the best chance by empowering them? See, when your kids know that you believe in them, they will believe in themselves. If all they hear is criticism from you about them, they will criticize themselves. If all they hear that you are disappointed in them, they will be disappointed in themselves. But if you're proud of them and they know it, they will take pride in themselves. If you're confident in them, they will have confidence for themselves. When your kids know that you trust them, I believe in most cases, if not all, they will honor your trust. A father was watching his little son playing in a sandbox with his cars and trucks. And while he's digging in the sand, building hills and tunnels, he discovered a large rock in the middle of the sandbox. And he didn't want that rock in there, but he couldn't quite lift it up. He could roll it, and then he could barely roll it after a while. So he would use his feet and push that rock closer to the edge of the sandbox. And then when he got it close, he tried to roll the rock up and out of the sandbox, but it rolled back and it crushed his little fingers. He starts crying in frustration. He can't do it. Just about then, a large shadow fell across the boy and the sandbox. And it was the boy's father. And the father gently said to his son, "Son, why didn't you use all the strength that you have?" And the little boy cried back, "But I did, Daddy, I did. I did it with all my strength, but I couldn't do it. And it rolled back and it hurt my fingers." And the father said, "No, son. You didn't use all the strength you had. You didn't ask me." And with that, the father reached down, picked up the rock, and removed it from the sandbox. Parents, fathers, your children need your strength. They need the strength that comes from your, not only your physical muscles, your love, your confidence, your pride, all the things that you can invest in your child to make them strong. So today, fathers and mothers, are you empowering your child, or are you embittering them? If you have committed the dad sin, I encourage you to confess it to God. Tell God that, yeah, I committed this sin. I've neglected or been inflexible. And then after you confess it to God, you repent, which means you commit to empowering your child in the name of Jesus. Brothers and sisters, we need to invest in our children at church, at home, in our neighborhoods, and all our family, so that they can become people of God. Remember this, our strength and power come from knowing Jesus Christ as our Savior and our Lord. And so we need the confidence and courage that comes from salvation in Jesus Christ. When we experience the love of Christ in our hearts, it's easier to be a father and a mother. So I encourage you today, if you're listening online, watching this recording, trust in Jesus today. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for our fathers and giving them to us. We know, Lord, these men, they love us and they want to do the best, but sometimes we make mistakes and sometimes we commit the dad sin. Father, we know that you forgive us for our sins and help us to be better. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. I think a different translation says, do not provoke your children. Training is hands-on application. That means, training means that you run alongside your child as they're riding a bike while you're holding the back of the bike so they don't fall over. You know, I can't do that anymore. I can barely run anymore. Raising children is for the young. Training is showing them how it's done and then letting them do it. You have to believe in your child. Your child needs to know that you have confidence in them. I taught all my daughters how to drive. And so I would get in the car, the parked car, show them the steering wheel, the different shifting gears, brake, gas, how to start the car, how to turn the car off. But then I had to let them drive. Training is hands-on training. And I let them drive. And there's nothing more terrifying than letting your child drive for the first time. I think next time, if I have to teach a child, I want one of those driver ed's cars where the passenger has a steering wheel and a brake of his own, because the imaginary steering wheel and brakes don't work very well. Training, teaching, it takes time. And the key, once again, is investing meaningful time in your child. Lastly, the next thing we need to do is you need to trust your child. The children need to know that you believe in them. Proverbs 22:6, train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. When they are trained, when they know the father, mother trust them, they know what they're supposed to do, most cases, they will not turn from it. But guess what? If you don't teach your child and train them and talk to them, they'll go any way they want to go. I remember back in seminary, one of my college professors, he homeschooled his children all the way through high school, which is a daunting task. And he then, after homeschooling them through high school, he sent them to a Christian college. And he was rightly so afraid of the world, being influenced by the world. And so there's nothing wrong if you want to go that route. It's a fine way. It's a great way. The only reason I don't do it is because I'm too lazy. But then he went further and he bragged that his daughters, there were no other kids or daughters that could compare to their godliness and integrity because of the way he raised them and sent them to school. Of course, this raised my hackles, and I didn't say it out loud, but I wanted to say to him, well, obviously you have never met my daughters, because not only would they match your daughter's godliness and integrity, they went to public school for 16 years. They went to public school and they passed the test, and they did not turn from my teaching or my wife's teaching. How do you empower your kids? How do you make them the child that God wants them to be? You talk to your child, you teach them, you train them. And then you trust them. You trust them to do the right thing when you're not there. In most cases, they will not turn from it. Now, is this a guarantee? No. A lot of these passages come out of Proverbs. Proverbs aren't promises. They are principles for living. But fathers, mothers, can't we give our children the best chance by empowering them? See, when your kids know that you believe in them, they will believe in themselves. If all they hear is criticism from you about them, they will criticize themselves. If all they hear that you are disappointed in them, they will be disappointed in themselves. But if you're proud of them and they know it, they will take pride in themselves. If you're confident in them, they will have confidence for themselves. When your kids know that you trust them, I believe in most cases, if not all, they will honor your trust. A father was watching his little son playing in a sandbox with his cars and trucks. And while he's digging in the sand, building hills and tunnels, he discovered a large rock in the middle of the sandbox. And he didn't want that rock in there, but he couldn't quite lift it up. He could roll it and then he could barely roll it after a while, so he would use his feet and push that rock closer to the edge of the sandbox. And then when he got it close, he tried to roll the rock up and out of the sandbox, but it rolled back and it crushed his little fingers. He starts crying in frustration. He can't do it. Just about then, a large shadow fell across the boy and the sandbox. And it was the boy's father. And the father gently said to his father, son, why didn't you use all the strength that you have? And the little boy cried back, but I did, Daddy, I did. I did it with all my strength, but I couldn't do it. And it rolled back and it hurt my fingers. And the father said, no, son, you didn't use all the strength you had. You didn't ask me. And with that, the father reached down, picked up the rock, and removed it from the sandbox. Parents, fathers, your children need your strength. They need the strength that comes from your, not only your physical muscles, your love, your confidence, your pride, all the things that you can invest in your child to make them strong. So today, fathers and mothers, are you empowering your child or are you embittering them? If you had committed the dad sin, I encourage you to confess it to God. Tell God that, yeah, I committed this sin. I've neglected or been inflexible. And then after you confess it to God, you repent, which means you commit to empowering your child in the name of Jesus. Brothers and sisters, we need to invest in our children at church, at home, in our neighborhoods, and all our family so that they can become people of God. Remember this, our strength and power come from knowing Jesus Christ as our Savior and our Lord. And so we need the confidence and courage that comes from salvation in Jesus Christ. When we experience the love of Christ in our hearts, it's easier to be a father and a mother. So I encourage you today, if you're listening online, watching this recording, trust in Jesus today. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for our fathers and giving them to us. We know, Lord, these men, they love us and they want to do the best, but sometimes we make mistakes and sometimes we commit the dad sin. Father, we know that you forgive us for our sins and help us to be better fathers. Help us, Lord, to invest time in our children, talking to them, teaching them, training them, and trusting them. Father, I pray that everyone here will trust in you and know you as our Savior and Lord. And I pray for all the children who have fathers, even older ones like me, that we love and honor our father and our mother, and most of you, our Father in heaven. So thank you, Father, for today. Continue to bless us and guide us, church, as we go through this difficult time. We're still going to worship you and walk with you and be your witness. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Northwest. Have a great week. May God bless you. Fathers, help us, Lord, to invest time in our children, talking to them, teaching them, training them, and trusting them. Father, I pray that everyone here will trust in you and know you as our Savior and Lord. And I pray for all the children who have fathers, even older ones like me, that we love and honor our father and our mother, and most of you, our Father in heaven. So thank you, Father, for today. Continue to bless us and guide us, church, as we go through this difficult time. We're still going to worship you and walk with you and be your witness. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Northwest. Have a great week. May God bless you. Thank you.